Hello, and welcome back to Don't Depend on Daddy, the podcast. My name is Michaela. I am your host, and we are back for another episode this week. It's been a while since I've sat down and done a solo episode. I feel like I've been bringing on a lot of guests, so it's been a couple of weeks since we've caught up. If you're watching on YouTube, you can see I am in a different environment because I moved into my own apartment. I have a whole moving vlog on YouTube. So if you're curious or have questions, make sure you go watch that vlog because I answer a lot of them throughout that video. I also talk a lot about this on my Instagram. So if you don't follow me on Instagram, if you're not watching my Instagram stories, make sure you are because my Instagram stories are really where I share like behind the scenes of my life, inner workings, all that kind of stuff, as well as on YouTube. So go check all of that out if you have questions about my move. But essentially, I'll give you the TLDR. I moved into a new apartment pretty much right down the road from my old apartment. I was ready to live alone. This apartment came up. She's gorgeous. I have an empty apartment tour on my Instagram and in that moving vlog. So if you want to look around, go check that out. Hopefully it's not too echoey because there's not a lot of stuff in here. So I'm going to do my best to make sure the audio doesn't sound like absolute garbage. But if it does, I am sorry. Please push through because this episode will be worth it. So yeah, that is the quick update, I guess, for right now. We're going to go through all of our usual solo episode segments. So first things first is housekeeping. As always, if you enjoyed this podcast, please go leave me a review. I know there are a lot more listeners lately because I see the analytics on Anchor. So thank you so much if you have been leaving me a review. If you're following me on Spotify, make sure you go just tap the 5 stars at the top. And if you aren't following me on Spotify, you should. If you listen to this on Apple Podcasts, go give me 5 stars as well. Hopefully you like it enough to do that. And if you want to be spicy, please leave me a written review. My goal this year is to really grow this podcast and make it more legit, make it better for all of you. And really the only way to do that is to get more people to listen to it. So please, 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 please go leave me a review if you like this podcast and share it with a friend. Second, as always, going forward in every single podcast episode, please pre-order Own Your Money. I feel like the beginning of these episodes is me just begging you guys to do stuff, but to keep this business alive, to keep things moving, I need you to support me through engagement and just through liking things and doing that kind of stuff. Own Your Money is my brand new book. It is my first book that I've ever written, one of two actually, because I'm writing a second one currently. But essentially, it is going to be your go-to guide to budget better, earn more, and reach your six-figure savings goals. I'm so excited. It's coming out on June 20th. I put so much time, blood, sweat, and tears, so many tears into this book. I am so excited for you guys to read it. It's going to be the best finance book you've ever read because I've taken all of the little things from other finance books that I liked, like the storyline, and then also like the tactical tips, and I've put them all together in one. So I think what makes Own Your Money so unique is that I share my personal story throughout the book, sort of in a sequential order, like how I navigated my first job and my first salary and my thoughts and all of my inner workings, along with tactical tips. And I feel like a lot of other finance books only do tactical tips or they're only like a very reflective journey and they're not actually sharing like what to do to address these things. And Own Your Money does both. So I'm very, very excited for it to come out. If you haven't pre-ordered it, please go pre-order it. Obviously, all of the information will be in the show notes. Pre-orders are absolutely essential for new authors because it really helps the companies that sell the book. So we'll use Amazon, for example, bulk order. And when they order a lot of books, because there were a lot of pre-orders, they're anticipating a lot of sales. It really helps boost the book in their algorithm for like putting it at the top of search queries and stuff. So if you haven't ordered it, please go order it. Like I said, pre-orders are so, so, so important. If you like this podcast, if you like me, if you like anything I put out, if you've learned anything from me, I'm asking you to support me and buy this book. So we'll leave that there. Last two things. First, personal finance dashboard, as always, $10 off with the code podcast1. And second, the Increase Your Income Masterclass from a couple of weeks ago was quite the hit. And it really made me realize how much I love talking about career and stuff and just increasing your income and side hustles in general. And that's what my whole second book is going to be about. But if you missed it, or if you're curious, or if you're trying to start a side hustle, or a side hustle is in your future this year, or you want to get a raise, I would definitely recommend go checking that out, just because I feel like I put a lot of the stuff that I talk about across all of my channels about career and side hustles together into one place that was very actionable. And the feedback that I got from people who joined live was very, very positive, and all of them said it was super helpful. So if you haven't watched that, you can go check it out. It's $25, so it's very inexpensive. And it comes with a bunch of like worksheets and stuff to help you work through how to actually implement what you learn. So that is all the housekeeping. Thank you for sticking through that. Now, let's get into my money resource of the week. So it's actually a suggestion for a new podcast that just came out. My good friend Austin Hankwitz just launched a podcast with Robert Croak, who is another new and emerging, I don't even know if we can call him like a finance influencer. I don't know. He's like a grown adult. I mean, I guess we all are, but he's like, you know, an adult. And he has recently come onto the TikTok and Instagram scene, and he's kind of blown up. But he is actually the founder of Silly Bands. So I don't know if you ever grew up like having those little rubber band bracelets that were shaped like animals. We went through a phase in like middle school and high school where those were the thing. So he's the mastermind behind that company, and he sold it for $100 million, which, if I'm being completely honest, this is no shade to him, actually completely blows my mind, because who would buy a rubber band company for $100 million? I have no idea. But anyways, he and Austin have joined together to start a new podcast called Rich Habits, where they talk about like all the habits that you can have to become rich. I've been listening to it every week on my morning walks. I really, really like it. I'm not just saying that because Austin is my friend. It's a very, very good podcast because it brings two different perspectives and two different generations together. So Austin is, you know, younger. He's in his 20s. Robert is probably in like his 50s maybe, or his 60s. And he and Austin basically riff on all of the things that they've learned. It's Austin sharing what he knows. It's Robert sharing like his perspective from a different phase of life. Very, very good podcast. Highly recommend. You should definitely go give it a listen. So that is all of the housekeeping, intro, catch up stuff. I don't want this episode to be like 18,000 years long, so I'm not going to give you guys my life update just yet. But maybe in like the next solo episode, I'll sit down and do like a whole 10 to 15 minute life update about everything that's been going on in my brain, because I've had a couple of things just like with my move. The mental aspect of things has been challenging for me. I think I'll give you the cliff notes, because, you know, I can't help myself. But basically, moving was something that was obviously a very calculated thing. You know, I don't make rash financial decisions. Every decision I make is calculated. But obviously moving is very expensive. March for me is just like a really expensive month, because I'm actually going on two ski trips. I went on one at the beginning of March. I went to Bend. And then I'm going next week, actually. So the day after this podcast goes up, I'm going to Big Sky. And skiing is expensive. Both of those trips easily have cost me over $1,000 each. So yeah, it's just like expensive. And then moving is expensive. And on top of that, I'm just sort of having, not, my whole perspective is warped. Like, I'm not having a bad month in my business. I'm just having a slower month than usual. Like, I haven't had as many brand deal opportunities come through, which I think is kind of a result of a couple of things. Like, TikTok views are really low. My TikTok has not been hitting, but I think everybody's TikTok has kind of not been hitting lately. So I've just been trying to think about ways to add some life and spice back into my TikTok a little bit. And that's just been a hard thing to navigate. And then, you know, there's all this talk of a recession, which I'll do an updated recession planning, navigating a recession podcast episode. I had one that went up last year if you want to listen to it in the interim. But with the whole collapse of Silicon Valley Bank, like, now there's a lot of fear with a recession. All of the layoffs that have been happening, I think companies are pulling back a little bit of their spend. So just in general, I'm feeling a little bit financially stressed. It's so crazy because when I think to like, okay, if I had a corporate job, I'm still making probably more than twice my income at my corporate job. But when that income is consistent, you just feel a little bit different about it. So that's another podcast episode I'm going to do, is just like dealing with financial stress, financial anxiety in general in the world that we live in today. So everything is fine. My business is healthy. My income is healthy. But the fluctuations are very, very hard to navigate when it's compounded with just a more expensive than usual month. So I know that in a month or two, everything's going to even out. I know that when my book comes out, everything's going to be great. It's just a matter of getting there and like really enjoying the process. So having your own business, especially a business that is so deeply, I don't want to say reliant, but like all of my advertising is done on social media. So I am sort of reliant on an algorithm that is so reliant just on the internet, is challenging. So yeah, that's the TLDR. I'll give you guys the whole update on how things sort of shake out over the next couple of weeks. But let's get into the bulk of this episode, which is spring cleaning your finances. If you're watching on YouTube, yes, I am drinking my coffee. Part of like the best part of moving has been being able to get these coffee cups. These are from Amazon, and really romanticizing my morning coffee. Like, I cannot emphasize enough how much I love living alone and like having my own space and being able to do all of my own things. But anyways, let's talk about spring cleaning your finances. So the days are longer, you know, it's getting warmer out. At least in LA, the weather has been absolute garbage this past month and a half, really all year long. Usually at this point in time in LA, it would be like 75, 80 and sunny. Lately, it's been pretty rainy. It hasn't been super warm, but spring is in the air. Daylight savings just happened, and so it's time to spring clean. And I've been in spring cleaning mode, I feel like, for a little bit of time because I've been moving. So obviously I like got rid of a bunch of stuff when I moved out of my other apartment. Now I'm in my new apartment. I have this fresh, invigorating, exciting space that I am very, very slowly going to be furnishing and turning into my own personal oasis. But I just have that spring cleaning energy. And spring cleaning is really important for your physical space, for just like the whole rebirth of a new season, but it's also very, very important for your finances. And what better time to go through the process of organizing your finances and just cleaning and sprucing things up a little bit than now when you're in spring cleaning mode? I think it's also super applicable, especially again, to my life. I'm always talking in the context of my own life, if that's not obvious, but like moving, having new expenses, having different expenses, having things, you know, organized in different ways, different expenses going on different credit cards. You know, it's just time to get more organized, I think, to refresh, to consolidate, to clear things out and do all of that kind of stuff. So I'm going to go through 5 different things that you can do to spring clean your finances this season. And I have a whole list up on my computer. So let's go through all of them. Number one is to review your financial goals. Goals come first in this whole process because they're generally the most fluid and the most subject to change aspect of your personal finances. Okay. At the beginning of the year, you know, we set these big overarching financial goals. And I think every quarter, we're kind of on the end of Q1 at this point. Every quarter, and this co-aligns really nicely with spring cleaning, you should be sort of reviewing your financial goals and reviewing them from a couple of different angles. So the first angle is this goal still applicable to my life? So let's say at the beginning of the year, you set a goal that you want to save, you know, $20,000 for a down payment on your home. Now we're one quarter in, the housing market's a little weird. The economy is even more fragile than it was 3 months ago. People are getting laid off. Maybe you lost your job. Okay, saving for a home may not be something that's top of your priority list anymore this year. If it is, that's great. I'm not saying it's a bad goal, to be clear. I'm just using it as the example here. It may not be top of your priority list anymore in terms of your financial goals. That's totally fine because goals change. They'll always change. But that's an indicator that, okay, I need to reevaluate my financial goals as a whole at this point. Because remember, all of your goals should fit together within your broader financial plan, which is step number two. So we'll get there. But remember that your goals are fluid. Okay. So that's really the important thing. And they're going to evolve as your spending changes, as your priorities change, as the economy changes, as your life changes, as your desires change. And that's why we need to reevaluate them. So what you want to do here is pull up the financial goals that you set at the beginning of the year. So I'll use myself as an example. I set three kind of main financial goals. One was to max out my retirement account in my solo 401k. The second was to save $5,000 for my travel fund. And the third was to invest, I want to say like 50K into my brokerage account, which I need to go back and actually look at them offline. But we'll start with those first two. So my solo 401k, the maximum contribution you can put in there is 62.5. I think it might be a little bit different for 2023. But remember, this is from a business perspective. So I know that these numbers sound incredulous, and I'm aware of that. But really what I'm focused on first is maxing out from the employee perspective. So the way that I'm organized as my business is I'm both the employer and the employee. So I can put $22,500 into my solo 401k as an employee. And so what I need to do is I need to go through my contribution history. I need to go through my salary that I'm paying myself. And I need to make sure that I'm on target for reaching that goal. What I also need to do as part of that process is review my revenue streams and just make sure that things are healthy, because I don't want to be set up to be contributing more than necessarily what I could afford. It's still very early in the year, and so I need to be a little bit more conservative. For the second goal, my travel fund. You know, I've been doing a lot of travel up at this point. Honestly, after my trip next week, I'm probably going to drain my travel fund to cover everything. And, or at least half of it. I have about $2,000 in there right now. And I've been good about moving money monthly. But given my move, given I've done a lot of travel this past month, honestly, I don't really want to be doing any more travel for the next couple of months. So I might pull that goal back a little bit or put it on pause temporarily and redirect that money towards other things for now. So that's what I mean when I say review your goals. It's look at the goals that you've set, decide if you want to continue progressing towards them or if you want to take them off. So there are going to be, to summarize here, a couple of things you want to do. First is pulling up those goals. Then you want to look at the progress you've made towards those goals so far. Are you on track towards like what you had set as your annual goal at this point in time? So we're a quarter into the year. Have you contributed or put about a fourth of that amount towards these goals? Yes or no? If the answer is yes, awesome. Do you want to continue moving at that pace with that goal? Great, super easy. If the answer is no, there are a few questions that you would need to ask yourself. Is this goal something I want to continue working towards? What is the reason I haven't made the progress towards this goal that I was looking for? Is the goal still relevant and applicable to my life? Or do I want to replace this goal with something else? Is there something that's more pressing or more interesting to me or one of my financial goals that I'd rather focus more attention on? And then what you can do is adjust your plan and your goal layout accordingly. So that is what you're going to do to, you know, review and assess and spring clean your financial goals. Another thing too that you can do in this process is just check in on some of the more like baseline financial goals that are sort of those check boxes that you need to have going on for just broader financial health. So first would be your emergency fund. So look at your emergency fund right now. Is there enough money in there to cover, you know, 3 to 6 months of your baseline expenses? Let's say you lose your job. Are you good for a little bit? Did you have to draw down any money from your emergency fund? And if so, how much, and are you planning to replenish it or do you feel okay? Looking at like your retirement contributions, are you contributing up to the maximum if your employer provides a match? So let's say your employer provides a 3% match on your 401k, are you at least contributing 3%? If not, are you able to plus that up? Also with your 401k, like, are you contributing enough where maybe you could up that contribution by another 1% given, you know, that doesn't make a huge difference in your quality of life, but it could make a huge difference in your long-term savings. So think through those kinds of things as well. Are you making at least the minimum payment on any outstanding debt? I know that with the student loan thing, it's still a little confusing what's going to happen, what's going on, but you can still be making progress on your student loans if you have them, either through just making direct payments if you want to, interest-free, or putting your payment, your monthly payment aside in a high-yield savings account. And then once all of the legislation is sort of clarified on what's going on, then you can either make a lump sum payment or you have that money for something else. So that's step number one, reviewing your financial goals and just like pulse checking your situation. Number two is cleaning up your financial plan. So I've said this before, I'm going to say it again because that's what I'm here for. A financial plan is an integral tool in your financial situation. And if you have financial goals that you just reviewed that you actually want to reach, you need to have a financial plan. Even if you check in on your finances weekly, which is something that I do, and it's something that I very much so encourage you to do as well, going through the spring cleaning process is still something that you should do because things that you're looking at weekly and even monthly may be, you know, a little bit different than how you would look and approach your finances with this type of spring cleaning process. Taking time quarterly to like just update and review this plan from a different lens and a different perspective will be very, very helpful for you. And you want to make sure that your plan is still working for you and it still makes sense and is applicable to your life in a realistic way. So for example, given I just moved, obviously throughout that process, I made sure that the increase in my rent and potentially the increase in like my utilities and all that kind of stuff was still something that I could manage within the broader financial plan that I had. So obviously I used the personal finance dashboard and I always recommend it for this specific, I mean, for a lot of reasons, but for this specific section of it in general, and it is the annual spending plan tab. This is my favorite tab of the whole thing. And it's honestly the tab that gives me the most information. And what I like it for is you can lay out your entire year in terms of your plan. So what I did was I looked at my expenses for now, so I could see like what my essential expenses were, what my non-essential expenses were, how that factored in with the income I'm currently paying myself and all of my goals. I have to use it a little bit differently since I'm self-employed, but it was still really helpful, especially from an expense standpoint. So what I did was I looked at my expenses for January, February, and then for March through the rest of the year, I plugged in my new rent because that was really the only expense that's going to change dramatically. And I said, okay, how does this impact my broader spending for the full year? And how is this going to impact my financial goals? Because I'm increasing my rent this year in total by like $9,000 because my rent went up about $1,000 a month. And I was comfortable with where I was landing from the lens of, okay, I'm increasing my expenses, but I'm also increasing my opportunity in my business to make more money because I'm going to be in a fresh environment. I'm going to have, you know, more productive perspective on things. It's just, I'm up-leveling my life and myself. And so in my mind, I was able to get to a point where I'm like, okay, this makes sense for me. But that's what I mean when you should be reevaluating your financial plan. So pull up your financial plan. If you don't have the PFD, you can pull up whatever tool you use. I know that everybody has their own thing. I recommend the PFD. Again, you can get a discount using the code podcast1 if you listen. That's podcast only code. I don't share it anywhere else. I don't even like post it anywhere. You can pull up your financial plan or your budget, whether it be an app or a spreadsheet, and start reviewing your spending from the beginning of the year and what you anticipate your spending will be for the rest of the year. Obviously, the out months are going to be an estimate. But look at how you spent for January, February, and March. These months tend to be lower spend months because we're coming off the holidays. We're paying a little bit more attention to where our money is going. But going into the summer months, spring and summer, this is where spending for the year starts to increase a little bit because it's warmer, we're out of hibernation. In the summer, a lot of times people are traveling, and then the summer ends and we get right into the holiday season. So think about how your spending is going to change. Anticipate if there are any like big moves you're going to have to make. So maybe your lease is up in June or July, or sometime at this point this year, your rent is either going to go up or you're going to have to move. So you need to factor in all of those costs as well. So just plug all of those into your plan and see where you land. And once you've done that, evaluating your spending, plugging in new expenses, then you can sort of rejigger your financial plan to include, you know, the adjusted goals that you just went through and see where everything's falling and see if you feel comfortable with it. I think when it comes to your spending, a couple of things that you should be looking for are areas of your spending where you feel like you're spending a lot or that make you, that evoke some sort of emotion from you. So when I look back at my spending for the first 2 months of the year, I actually spent very well intentionally because I used spending guidelines around certain areas that I tend to struggle with. One being coffee, the other one was shopping. I haven't bought any new clothes this year and it's almost the end of March, which is crazy. Ooh, my coffee just spilled. Implementing spending guidelines was huge for me in terms of just making me feel more in control of my spending. So I recommend doing that. I have a podcast about it if you scroll back a little bit. But look at your spending, see what areas evoke an emotion. If there's an area of your spending that makes you feel anxious, stressed, worried, or something along those lines, probably an area you need to spend a little more attention on to reel in a little bit. And then think about what changes you want to make to design your lifestyle. So again, when I think about myself designing my lifestyle, like I wanted to live alone. I wanted to have a safe home environment where it had my privacy. I could do my job. I didn't have to worry about anything else around me. There was nothing getting in my way. There was no pets because if you watch my moving vlog, you know, I don't really like other people's pets. And just in general, I wanted to design the life that I wanted to live. And part of that is mapping out the finances. So those are the things that you really want to keep in mind. And you also want to factor in how your goals are going to fit into here. So if you're following a zero-based three-bucket budget, which is the budget that you can create in the personal finance dashboard annual spending plan tab, it's the only way you can budget using the PFD. So if you're struggling with how to put that together, basically it just gives you the framework to do that. If you're following that framework for budgeting, you should be able to get back down to zero and everything within your finances should sort of piece together like a puzzle. And once it all pieces together, that's how you know you've found your optimal plan. It really is just like a plug and play. So that's step number two for cleaning up your finances. If you don't have a financial plan or you aren't really sure how to go about making one, I would recommend checking out the 4-week financial plan, which is just a course that I made that sort of goes through all of the different steps in order to put together your financial plan in detail. If you get that, you can get the PFD at an even further discount than the podcast one code. So go check those out. It's always all linked in my show notes, but I know that maybe some people are unsure about courses or whatever, like feel like they don't need it. If you feel like you need it, I would just get it because you have it forever. It's very, very helpful in terms of just providing you that validation that you're doing it right. I think a lot of people struggle with like, am I doing this correctly? And I get a lot of questions of people who use the PFD that I answer in that course itself. And I usually just funnel people right into it because I'm like, I don't have the bandwidth to help you create your own financial plan. Like that's why I have this course. So if you need a little bit of help, if you're looking for a little bit of handholding, I definitely recommend just checking that out. Anyways, let's move into number three, which is cleaning up all of your financial accounts. So with the whole Silicon Valley Bank thing, which I really haven't talked about a lot, the reason being is because it's something that's completely outside of our control. Okay. So we can't control how all of this happens. We can't control the impact. And so it really shouldn't be changing up your financial strategy too dramatically, in my personal opinion. I think there are things that you can do to just put yourself in a more defensive position, and we're going to talk about them. But with that whole situation that happened recently, really the action step that comes out of this is just diversifying your cash positions. So that's kind of a big word or big phrase that I said there that might sound overwhelming. What do I mean by diversifying your cash positions? It just means the cash that you're holding shouldn't just be sitting in one bank, okay? Because as we've seen, at any point in time, a bank can just fail. And we don't have control over it, but we do have control over where we put our money. So I'm going to assume, and I don't mean this in a bad way, that most people listening to this are not sitting on over $250,000 worth of cash. If you are, good for you. Let me know what you do for work because I'm interested. But if you're sitting on less cash than that, I wouldn't stress too much about the bank that you're in, because really what you want to do is just make sure that any cash you're holding is in a bank that's FDIC insured. FDIC insured means that your money held in that bank up to $250,000 is insured by the government. So even if the bank fails, you still have the money. That money doesn't disappear in the same way that a lot of people's money that was invested with that bank just kind of poofed away. Like I had a friend who had some, she used to work at SVB actually early on in her career. And so she had employee stock that she had bought when she worked there at a discount. The price had gone up really, really high. And then, you know, she hadn't cashed it out yet. And all of that money basically just, essentially it just disappeared. Don't ask me to explain where it went, because I really, this whole thing has kind of exposed that there are some financial concepts that I just can't grasp. Like it just doesn't make any sense to me. But anyways, really the point here is that if you are sitting on a good amount of cash and you're uncomfortable with the fact that it's all in one bank, you can clean up and diversify your accounts. But if that amount of money is less than $250,000 and your bank is FDIC insured, I wouldn't worry about it too much. All that being said, this situation is a great excuse to just review and reevaluate your accounts, okay? And just see where you have your money going, see where your money is sitting, just so that you have peace of mind that you know where your money is. Because a lot of people don't know where all of their money is sitting, and that's an issue. That's also something that I try to resolve through the templates that I sell. So in the PFD, you can update your net worth every month. And that means that every month you're sitting down and you're looking at all of your different accounts and how much money is everywhere. You're forced to do it if you want to get the insights out of the template. So essentially, take inventory of the current accounts that you have. Where is all of your money sitting? I recommend starting with four main account types, and I'm gonna list through exactly what they are. So first is a checking account. That's just a simple cash flow account where your money flows in and your money flows out. You really only need one. Second is an inconvenient savings account, and this is a high yield savings account. I say it's inconvenient because it's completely separate from your checking account, meaning that you're not getting your paycheck deposited into it. You don't have a debit card associated with it. To put money into it and to take money out of it, you have to be very, very intentional, okay? So a high yield savings account is, you know, this is where you may have a couple or want to have a couple. I bank with Ally for my high yield savings account, but I do have a couple of high yield savings accounts with Capital One. So now that this whole Silicon Valley Bank thing happened, I may diversify my cash a little bit. Basically, I'm not gonna close those Capital One accounts. And I'm not sitting on a ton of cash, but I may just put some money into those accounts for the time being, just to keep things a little bit more separate. Third type of account is a retirement account. So this could be a 401k, a 403b, an IRA, or some combination of these things. I do have an entire podcast episode all about retirement and 401ks where I sat down with Gaurav Sharma, who's the CEO of Capitalize. Go check that out if you are curious about retirement and how to optimize there. And then a taxable investing account. So this would be like a brokerage account, crypto account, real estate, like any investments outside of your retirement. Investments is taxable investing. So look through all of your accounts and categorize them into these four main categories so that you can see where you're falling stacked up against this framework. If you feel like, you know, you're comfortable with where all of your money is, you don't have too many accounts and you don't want to make any changes, that's totally great. But if you feel like maybe a lot of your money is concentrated with one bank and you'd have more peace of mind by diversifying just the banks that you have, so maybe splitting your emergency fund between two different high yield savings accounts, that's completely fine. But to be clear, you don't need to do this. Just remember that your finances and your financial decisions are largely emotional, right? So if it makes you feel more comfortable to do that, do it. If it's too much work, too much administration, it's going to be confusing or harder for you to manage, it's not necessary. So long as you have less than $250,000 in one single bank And remember, a bank is different than an investment brokerage firm. So like if you have that amount of money invested in the stock market, there's always risk there. Always. That's what is happening with investments. But if you have just straight cash sitting in a bank and you, and that bank is FDIC insured and it's under $250,000, you're good mostly, unless there's some sort of apocalyptic, cataclysmic, you know, unpredictable event that nobody can anticipate, which I don't think is going to happen. I think you're good. So that's that in cleaning up all of your accounts. Step number four is decluttering all of your bills in your files. So I don't know about you, but even for my like accounts and statements where I sign up for paperless billing, I still get a bunch of shit in the mail. And it's super annoying because I don't want to have mail. I hate mail. Mail should be canceled. Let's cancel mail. It's so annoying. I don't want it. And I just feel like I need to keep it, but do I throw it away? Like whatever. So I don't check my mail often either, but like when I do check my mail, you know, usually it's just a bunch of bills that I also, or statements really, not bills, statements that I've already gotten to my email. And so, but sometimes it's not like tax documents and stuff. I don't want to throw those away. So when I get my mail, I'll go through it and I sort it like throw away pile, keep pile. What do I do with the keep pile? I have this folder. It's like an accordion folder that's organized for all of my different important documents and mail that I want to hang on to and I'm not going to throw away, because you never know if you're going to need it. So if you are someone who gets a lot of mail and maybe your mail is just like sitting in a pile, or you've gone through tax season or you've gotten a lot of tax documents and you just like don't really know what to do with it, especially if you live in an apartment where maybe you don't have the space for like a filing cabinet, go get an accordion folder. And what you're going to do is you're going to organize each file within that folder for specific things. So for example, I have one section for like my 2020 tax return and all the documents related to that that are print. I have one for my 2021 tax return. I have one for my 2022 tax return. So all my tax returns are organized, and all of my tax documents that I've received that are related to their respective return are all organized within those folders. Beyond that, I have a section for my health insurance. I have one for my car insurance. I have one for any bank information. I have one for all of my investments, my retirement account. So like statements I get, policy changes, policy updates, anything related to that, that I'm like, maybe I should just hang on to this. Every single one has its own little category. And so as a result, when I get that stuff in the mail, I'm not overwhelmed. I mean, I am overwhelmed, but I'm not stressed about like, where do I put this? Because I have it all organized. So if you don't have like a little filing folder like this or some sort of system for it, I recommend doing it so that you don't have important financial documents just scattered all over the place, but also just for like decluttering your desk area or decluttering like your junk drawer or things like that. Take 20 minutes, or it's gonna take more than 20 minutes, take an hour or two, and take $10. These accordion folders are like $7.50 at Staples. Like they're very inexpensive. You can order one off Amazon. Get yourself a folder and go through and organize all of these files. I recommend doing this first to get all set up. So spring cleaning is a great time to do it, but also going and revisiting it quarterly just to like clear things out. So if you have a policy that expired, you can throw that away. There's no need to hang on to it anymore. So what I'm gonna do is I'm gonna pull out that folder this weekend probably, and I'm just going to take out like my old car insurance policy since that's been updated, my old renter's insurance policy since that's been updated, my health insurance policy from last year. I don't need that anymore. I'm going to just get rid of it all in a safe and secure way. And it just helps you like refresh, you know, all the clutter that you have. So yeah, make sure you go and do that if you haven't already. This is like my best tip. The other benefit of that too is that if you ever need a document, you have it and you know where it is. Because this happens to me with taxes, is like my accountant will text me and be like, can you send me form W-20C? And I'm like, I don't know what that is, but I probably have it in this folder. So that's that. The fifth step, and this is the last step of your spring clean, is to clear out all of your subscriptions. So I know that this is kind of like an annoying tip because likely you know what subscriptions you have, but a lot of people don't. And I don't mean clear out your subscriptions, like take inventory to see what subscriptions you have and what subscriptions maybe you want or need. I mean, look at your subscriptions and see if you're using them. Because a lot of times we have like four or five different streaming services, for example. Like if you have Netflix, Hulu, Amazon Prime Video, HBO Max, YouTube Premium, do you need all of those? Or do you only need one or two and you can get rid of the rest? So look through all of the subscriptions that you're paying for every month and see if you can narrow it down to like two or three, especially streaming services, because I think those get out of hand really quickly because, you know, a new show comes up and it's like, oh, well, I gotta get HBO Max so I can watch this show. You don't need to do that. Or what you can do is like cancel those subscriptions for the time being. And then when a new show comes out, you can get it for a month and then cancel it again. So go through all of your subscriptions, identify, am I using this at least 3 to 4 times a week? Like if you're not using the subscription multiple times a week, it's probably not worth it. So am I using this? Do I still want to be paying for this? And if the answer to those questions, to either of those questions is no, cancel it. Free that money up, put it towards a financial goal and see if you can get down to like 2 or 3 subscriptions. So the 3 subscriptions that I have, first is Spotify. I use Spotify every single day, obviously. I think everybody has their like music app of choice, whether it be Spotify, Apple Music. I'm a Spotify person. I'll never get rid of it. It is so worth the $10 a month. The second one I have is Ouro app, which is a like Pilates app, Pilates Sculpt online subscription. So I follow this Instagram. It's called Sweats in the City. And basically it's their fitness app that they've launched. I think I pay like $19 a month for it. And essentially every single day of the week, there's a new class. They have different instructors. They have different Pilates, bar, sculpt, yoga classes, like all this different stuff. And the library is just constantly updated and like archived. So I have access to, you know, probably hundreds and thousands of classes at this point. I use that for my fitness. That's my replacement for my gym. I don't pay for a gym membership. I use the subscription app and I just do Pilates at home. Worth it to me because, you know, I can do my workout in like 30 minutes to 40 minutes. It's not a huge time suck during my day. And I use it, you know, multiple times a week. My last one is Medium. I pay $5 a month for Medium. And I read Medium articles. I use Medium articles for content inspo, different perspectives regularly. I do recommend that you read or consume personal finance content for at least 10 minutes a day. Medium is really how I do that. That's in a separate way from social media. So I don't like to spend too much time consuming personal finance content on socials because I don't want it to impact the content I make. I do obviously look at what other finance creators are putting out, but none of them are putting out content necessarily that I want to consume. Like it's either skit content, which I don't like, you know, it's flashy, eye-grabby, you know, attention-grabbing content that's not valuable, or it's just not applicable to me, or it's catered towards men. So I don't like to really consume that. And it bothers me. I'm going to be completely honest here. It bothers me when I see content like that get a lot of views because I just don't think it should. I think it's bad content, if I'm being honest, but that's just my opinion. There are very few finance creators whose content I regularly consume. I really like Money with Katie. I do watch her videos a lot, although sometimes they feel a little bit complicated to me. And obviously I like Austin Hankwitz. His content is great as well, especially his podcast. I mentioned that earlier on. But outside of that, I'm really not consuming a lot of that kind of content. And so I use Medium to replace that so that I have inspo for my own content when I'm posting content that's outside of like my own life. So go through and clear out your subscriptions, pull a quick inventory, look at what you're paying monthly. Double check where that money is being paid from. So like, is it getting charged to a card, a specific card? And is that card on auto pay? Have you forgotten about it? Go through all of your credit cards and just make sure that you don't have stuff going onto those cards, especially subscriptions that you aren't paying. I actually had, when I first started Break Your Budget, I used to do one-on-one budgeting consults, which I'm considering bringing back. And one of my clients at the time had a subscription on a credit card that she forgot she had. And it was a subscription she wasn't really using. And she eventually figured it out because her credit score dipped a lot because she was carrying a balance for a subscription that she was paying for that she wasn't using that she didn't know about. And basically for like almost 2 years, she hadn't paid the subscription and she hadn't paid the card. And so it was kind of like this nightmare situation. And she was luckily in a position where she could just pay it off, but you don't want that to happen to you. So make sure you know where your subscriptions are being paid from, take inventory of those things, and just pick and choose what subscriptions make sense for you. So those are the five steps for spring cleaning your finances. First is reviewing your goals. Second is reviewing your financial plan or creating a financial plan. Third is cleaning up all of your different accounts. Fourth is decluttering and organizing any files that you have into one place. And fifth is clearing out all of your different subscriptions. Hopefully this was helpful for you. I hope you enjoyed this episode. If you ever have suggestions about podcast episodes you want to hear, let me know. As a reminder, please pre-order Own Your Money. Go get the personal finance dashboard for $10 off. And if you made it this far and you enjoyed this episode, go leave me a review if you haven't already. It takes 1 second. I will wrap this up now and catch you in the next one.